All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is 2-4-24, February 4th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. And it is actually beautiful today. One of those, I love the mornings that we wake up, it's freaking freezing, but it just, as the sun comes up, it just absolutely warms the place up. I mean, you know, I don't think I'd wear shorts today, but it is nice. It's not windy. It's an absolutely gorgeous day. It is Sunday. Thought I'd come in today, see if I could chat a little bit on the podcast and just sort of, you know, keep it rolling. I did go to a meeting last night, which was great. It was my Saturday night meeting. The Saturday night meeting that I get to go to. And it was awesome. Apparently there's, I think it's Footsteps in the Sand, something they're doing down in Ocean City. So this is not a huge attended meeting. It's not, you know, at the most I've seen maybe 8 people. Small town recovery, right? But last night there was something else going on, and I guess my friend said that somebody had called her and told her that they would be going to this other thing, and so wasn't sure how many people would show up. And actually, it was just 3 of us. It was me. It was 4 of us, and but it was fine. It was perfectly fine. I actually led the meeting. Third step, right? Talked about the second step last week. Came to believe. I do think it is interesting, and, you know, we admitted, came to believe, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him, right? You know, I've said this before, and somebody said it last night, and it sort of made me think about it, because I often wonder why it says higher power, God of our understanding, yada, yada, yada. It's sort of never quite nailing it down, right? And so it makes me feel like a higher power, maybe just like this ability, right? Or a God of our understanding, whatever it is, but right? But as I realize this, as these steps pass go on, and I, you know, I may be wrong about this, but I was told, or I think I was told, right? I'm not even sure, but I feel like I was told that the 12 steps of this program are really about this sort of a story, right? This evolving story, right? That kind of takes us down through a journey. And that they kind of broke it up into 12 steps. I may be wrong, maybe right. I don't know. I feel like that's what I was told. But when I look at these 12 steps as more of a story, right, I understand where it says we admitted, right? I've said this before. Admitting I was powerless over alcohol was probably the first humble thing I had done, right? So to go from being this self-centered person to all of a sudden, I'm going to put you or I'm going to suggest that you have a relationship with God, right? Having a relationship with God was the least thing I was having back in the day. If I was reaching out, it was because I was wanting something, right? And so to go from 0 to 100 seems like it would be a lot, right? And so now that I look at this, it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. It says nothing about a higher power. It says nothing about a God, but it does say we admitted, right? And to surrender, like I give up. You caught me. I admit it, right? Is an act of a relationship, right, with something, right? It's the opposite of what I had been doing, which was to not admit, to not consider, to not attempt at trying to find recovery, right? Everything against getting sober is what I did the day before, and then to come in and just to start this process, right? But we come to believe, right? We came to believe, and it says in the second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. All it's saying is, hey, can we, I, me, evolve, right, into a place where maybe I can accept the idea that there might be something other. Or maybe I just never bothered to even look. Hey, let's even take a look at this, right? But just the idea, right, just the idea that there might be a power, right? And so it's saying it right there, came to believe over time, right? And then the third step, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God as we understood him. And what it's saying there, at least for me, is that between 2 and 3, I've come to believe, right? I have, you know, maybe I'm not 100% in, but I'm starting to think about it. The process is happening. I mean, if I've been sober this long and I'm starting to work a third step and I'm working with a sponsor and I'm trying to you know, digest this stuff, at the third step, I'm probably wondering, what is this relationship with this higher power? Do I want to call it a higher power? Do I want to call it God, right? And, you know, these two steps for me are really, honestly, the first three steps are a game changer, right? I had to really have willingness, right? I had to be willing to just open my mind, right? Just open my mind. And I have been, and it's wonderful, right? I love it. I love the second and third step. It, you know, when we turn our will and our lives over the care of a God as we understood him, you know, I've said this before, just making better decisions, right? It's almost just like starting to obey the law. Freaking great song that is. Oh, I heard that this morning. I'm like, I think I'll just do a podcast to play that song. Oh, so freaking good. Dave Matthews, The Maker. Where is that one? It's Meadows Music Theater, Hartford, Connecticut, I guess. Hartford. Yep, Connecticut. But anyway, it is, I sort of answered my own damn question, right? Trying to figure out why they call it a God of my understanding, a higher power, you know, to admit. And really, it's just this, what I'm sort of seeing now is it's kind of just this journey, right? It's a journey. The book is saying, hey, man, if you just trust us a little bit, right, and start to just take a look, right, have some willingness, and start to just open your mind and just, listen, you tried your way for a while. I tried my way for a while. The book said, hey, you tried your way for a while. Give me one chance. Right, just give me an opportunity to share my story, meaning the book story, you know, the 12 steps, and you take it from there, Do it if you do, if you want to. Don't if you don't, right? But just have a little bit, open the door just a little bit, right? And it's asking, it doesn't say, hey, we admitted that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable because we don't have God, right? It doesn't even mention, right? It just mentions to admit. I was so smart, right? They'll never get me, right? They'll never lure me into this God-loving cult. I'm watching, right? But to admit, which I would later learn, is a humble act, right? Surrender and join the winning team. And to admit, my team wasn't winning, right? And so to come in and to admit, doesn't say I'm having any sort of relationship with God. It just said admit. That's fine. But later I would learn that that would be just a little bit. That's the door opening. All right, I admit it. I got a problem, right? Come on in. Come on in, right? Instead of having the door completely shut, yelling from the yard, I have no problem. It's your all's fault, right? To admit was the first beginning of that relationship. And then, you know, came to believe, right? Slowly, over time. Not on my merits, but I feel like they made me think that I'm deciding. I'm setting the rules for this journey, right? And so it came to believe, right? A power greater than ourselves could return us to sanity, right? The power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And then the third step, made that decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God as we understood him. Up to this point, what do we understand? What do I understand up to this point about this relationship? Not a lot. Not a lot for me, at least, up until this point back in those days. And even, you know, like I said in the meeting last night, I'm just starting to understand the second and third step, right? And it was so funny because this guy last night said the same thing, right? Why do they call it a higher power and then start to call it a God of our understanding? What is the difference? And then it goes into the fourth step, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, right? And then five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. At this point in the fifth step, you probably have a relationship with a God, right? Maybe not the God we thought we had before we came in, not the God that we've always hoped for, but it is what it is, right? And at this point, you know, if you're working on the step five and you've been doing this program, working with the sponsor, you probably have a relationship with a God, right? And then we're entirely ready to have God. So now we're actually asking, right? We're working with God here. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, you know. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would hurt them, injure them or others. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, right? Now we have a full-fledged freaking relationship. Which is great, right? By this point, I've started to understand that what I thought was a relationship with God was not. And I started to understand that anybody, including a guy like myself, can have a relationship with God if there is willingness, if there is humility, right? It also exposed the main problem is that I'm very self-centered. You can't be self-centered and have a relationship with God. It's impossible. It's impossible, right? And then having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the alcoholic who still suffers and practice these principles in all of our affairs, right? It doesn't mention higher power. It doesn't mention God of understanding anymore, right? So we admitted, to me, admitted was the first, was the door opening, right? Came to believe was me starting to become interested, starting to be curious, not completely signing on, but saying, okay, maybe there's something here, right? And then made a decision, right, to turn our will. And this to me is just living a better life, right? I remember back in the day when I was doing my thing, every day was like, wonder how, very good chance today we could get in trouble. Right, very, very good chance we could either someone could tell on us and we could get busted by that way. We could get too high, get caught. Right, I could drink too much, get caught doing that, doing drugs, selling drugs, hanging out with druggies. Who knows what these other people got going on in their lives? It was a real landmine, a real land minefield. Right, what What appendage was I losing today, right? And it's a very scary existence. I mean, I didn't really... I shouldn't say that. It's scary, I guess, if you're finding humility and you really actually wish your life was different. But I, you know, it was a risk that I took, but it didn't keep me up at night, right? I look back at myself. That's why I do believe it's some sort of possession, right? Because I look back at myself and I go, I don't know how you could handle that, right? I can't, you know, anything like that. Any weirdness that goes on in my life that's a little out of my program, it just drives me nuts, right? Like, how, what, I can't. Right? So I look back at myself and I say, how'd you live like that? Oh my God. Right. And so, but that was my life for a long time. I'd become used to it. And it was really just a series of bad decisions. Right. Where, you know, hey, why don't we sell drugs? The voice on the other side said, that's probably not a good idea. You know, you could get in trouble. But the other voice, the one that the self-centered voice that wanted to do the drugs and wanted to do them for free and wanted to be a big shot said, let's do it. I said, okay, right? And I did it. I made that choice. And as soon as I make that choice, I allow opportunities like getting busted, getting arrested, crashing, getting shot, right? Going to jail, whatever it is, to start to become part of my life. And when I decided to stop it, right? And I really didn't decide it. I was sort of forced, right? I came in as a victim. I had to. But when I started to make better choices, I've said this before, I'll never forget driving home from my first meeting, not drunk, and just being overwhelmed by peace and joy. Right? I didn't ask God to give me peace and joy. I didn't read scripture that led me to peace and joy. I removed that scary shit out of my life. I removed the fear. I removed the ability to get in trouble. That's a fucking huge backpack to carry around. You know, all that fear. Fear, fear, fear. It was amazing. Amazing. And so, you know, here I am today. I am. So today, you know, as I, you know, I think about this third step, you know, and it, to me, it's like just basically deciding to start following the law. You either lived a life of breaking the law or you live a life of following the law. But when you live a life of following the law, you do not live a life that is full of fear of getting arrested and in trouble. And that is basically what the third step ended up being for me. You know, I thought it was this huge commitment to God and to this, to a relationship of a God of my understanding. That's the other thing, of my understanding. That means I've got to have, you know, I must have done some homework on this, right? I must have had to study it, right? And I didn't, right? But if you or if I have worked the first three steps and start to come from this place of no God and then to admit, right, and then came to believe over time, right, just by just coming to meetings, right, just by living this existence, right, and then when we start to turn our will and our lives, we start to make better choices and our actions, our lives become better. It just feels good. And it's not that we're doing better. We're just not living in fear. Excuse me. And it's amazing. I freaking think it's amazing. You know, I shared on the podcast the other day. I went back and listened to it. I sound like a crazy person. And I'm not crazy. But YouTube will make me nuts. And, you know, watching that Danny Jones, I did a deep dive into some shit last night. It got worse, right? And this, you know, just these ideas, right? For me, the idea that a God created us, you know, I like the idea, but it just seems a little far-fetched, right? And if, you know, I'm not here to change anybody's ideas on how they think. In fact, you know, I've always been about 75% the idea that God and Jesus and Adam and Eve and you know, this whole story, right, is how it sort of has been. I think I'm 75-80% only because I don't want to go to hell, right? I want to believe, right? More fear. Right? More narrative, more fear. But when I started watching that guy the other night, and him talking about these scrolls and these scripture and these engravings, carvings, and all this different data that we have, and it talks about, you know, life before. You know, I start thinking, man, maybe it isn't all true, right? Maybe there was this ancient civilization that came down prior to us, right? And sort of built the world. And it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And I went into this other, you know, because according to this guy's, you know, aliens came down, basically seeded the planet, right? Kind of built us. Kind of adjusted our DNA certain ways to allow us to do certain things and not do certain things. Talks about this, you know, changing our colors and different voices and languages to keep us separated, right? So we couldn't come together. But it all makes very good sense, right? Then I went on to this deep dive last night about the moon and how the moon is a spaceship, right? And it's hollow. And of course, right, it's how could that be true, right? But then you go watch these guys that talk about how, like, when the space lander hit it and it rung like a bell, right? And the density of the core of the moon is not as dense as the outside. And all of these different interesting sort of facts, you know, audio recordings from when the guys that landed on the moon, you know, saw certain things or, you know, certain things that happened that they sort of recorded. Just all this different stuff that sort of shows that there might be a chance, right? And this guy's premise was that the moon is a a spaceship that allows our Earth to be the way our Earth is, right? Without the moon, we would have a wobble. We'd have a wobble. And we'd have unpredictable weather, and it'd be really a mess. And I don't even think we could survive here without the moon. And they talk about in these scriptures, I guess, the life before the moon and that the moon showed up and got us sort of back in order. That's the craziest shit I've ever heard, right? But then you listen to these people and they put out all their information. You're like, maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. I don't know. It is interesting. I sort of woke up this morning, you know, rubbing my eyes going, what was that last night? I like the idea. To me, the idea of an alien race, right? And I don't mean like ET, but just, you know, an advanced civilization that came from somewhere, right? And came down here and, you know, created humans with DNA and you know, sort of decided. I mean, at one point it said that, you know, as humans, we lived 300 to 400 years. And then we tried to build this tower and you know, God or whatever this guy was, right? They came down, he got mad, right? So he tore down the tower. And he says, I'm going to limit your life, right? And so he limited humans to live for 120 years, right? But this guy's like, you can see it in the DNA. They put these things at the ends of the DNA that doesn't allow us to live the past that long. It's like, what? Right? That's crazy, right? I do believe that there is more to this, this is all to me just good stuff, right? It isn't bad stuff, but I believe that, you know, I see it, right? They talk about the, you know, interdimensional traveling and, you know, people that can see into different dimensions and different things. You know, when I lay in bed and I have these visions, you know, I wonder, is there something that has been, you know, like a governor, right? I remember driving this golf cart on the golf course, and I could only get going so fast, right, because it had a governor. I'm like, what's a governor? It's a limiter. It limits the speed that you can go on this thing. And I was like, oh, that sucks, right? Can we take that off? But I think some days I feel like there is a governor on my brain, right? There's a governor on my spirituality because I can lay in bed and I can sort of get visions. Some days they're better than others, right? And some days I can envision things that are so so clear, it appears like I'm flying, right? And then I'm like, well, what? I've imagined this place. Does that mean it exists somewhere, right? And is that what, like, ungoverned brains can do? We picture something, we picture the place, and then we can just step into it. How cool would that be, right? So I do believe that there's something more to this. But what I am learning a lot of is that my whole world is based on fear. And that's unfortunate. Right. And I live my life, a long, big portion of my life in fear, right? Just everything is about being afraid. And according to these people that I watched the other night, it's sort of that's how it was designed, right? To kind of keep us in fear and worry, separate, conquer. You know, it's weird. It is weird. And then I start to look at how our news is, and like even this presidential election coming up and all the stuff going on and the border, you know, and it's all more fear. Fear, fear, fear. You know, the border is an interesting topic, always a huge topic around an election, right? Why can't we all see that? Why can't we see how nobody gives a shit about the border publicly unless there's an election, it seems, right? And then if the fear starts coming, these people are going to come into our country, these people are going to terrorize us, and maybe. But, you know, I said, you know, one of the worst terrorist bombings that we ever had in our country was performed by an American, right? Timothy McVeigh. He lived here, right? And so, but these people put these narratives out and make us live in fear and control, and it's really weird. And then I see shows like I've been watching the last couple of days with these podcasts about these people that talk about this ancient civilization that was all about that, right? Fear. And it's just, it's crazy. And I don't know what it means, but it is fascinating. You know, YouTube will, YouTube will put me in the funny farm. But I love it. I love that stuff. I love the idea of ancient civilizations. To me, it makes much more sense than just this God, right? And no offense to God. We love you, but... and do I? I don't know, because, you know, that's sort of the, you know, the boss move, right? You love God or you're going to hell. Well, nobody wants to go to hell, right? If it'd be one thing to go to hell a couple days, but to live forever in burning hell, oh my God, right? Nobody wants that. So, love you, God, right? I have no idea. I have no idea. I know one thing. I'm not a God. And these three steps, right, the first three steps, the beginners, right, this is a foundation, I believe, to trying to have sort of a balance, for at least for me. These three steps have turned out to be giving me the ability to try to have some sort of balanced relationship with spirituality, right, with self, right, with humility, right, just to recognize the two, right? Self-centeredness and humility, I don't think, have anything to do with God. I think it's part of my conscience. And I think my conscience wants me to make good decisions in good times, right? I don't know. At some point, I've always wondered, is there a reason to be self-centered asshole, right? Is there, you know, maybe in bad times, right? Maybe. I don't know. But to me, it's about my conscience, and my conscience kind of helps me to say, hey, that probably wasn't a good idea. Let's try not to do that. Or, hey, that was a great idea. You know, and it can be very confusing. But is it a God? I don't know, right? See, I don't even want to say no, right? Because I don't want to piss God off. But I'm sort of having trouble believing, right? So whatever. The point is that I came to believe that what I really realized is that I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, and I needed to work on it. And these first three steps allow me to do that. And to me, that is awesome. All right. Whew. Deep. Deep stuff. I mean, what I'm going to ask, what do people think, right? I don't get any answers, so. But, you know, I think one of the things that I realized that this program taught me, especially these first three steps, is just the fear factor in my life and how it's controlled and helped make every decision that I've had, right? It's, you know, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, afraid of being late, I'm afraid of not making enough money, not surviving, all that. Fear, fear, fear. I don't wake up and say, geez, I hope I don't make too much money today, right? That's not my fear. It's always what the inconveniences in my life. And, all right, let me see. Maybe read a daily reflection, see if here, maybe daily reflections can wrap it up, button it up. Let's see if it has anything to do with what I'm talking about, or at least what I've been thinking about in my life. If you're new, right, just don't drink, go to a lot of meetings, right? Don't drink, go to a lot of meetings. And if you're doing that, you have some willingness, right? If you're going to a lot of meetings and not drinking, you clearly have some willingness. Just keep working on it and just enjoy it, right? Enjoy a day minus fear. It's very nice. All right. When faith is missing, February 4th, sometimes AA comes harder to those who have lost or rejected faith than to those who never had any faith at all. For they think they have tried faith and found it wanting. They have tried the way of faith and the way of no faith. Whew. How many times can you say faith? All right. That was step 12. No, it's 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 28. I was so sure God had failed me that I became ultimately defiant. Though I knew better and plunged into a final drinking binge, my faith turned bitter, and that was no coincidence. Those who had great faith hit bottom harder. It took time to rekindle my faith. Though I came to AA, I was grateful intellectually to have survived such a great fall, but my heart felt callous. Still, I stuck with the AA program. The alternatives were too bleak, and I kept coming back gradually. My faith was resurrected. Yeah. I don't know. You know, what is faith? Faith that I'm going to get something? Faith that it's going to get better, right? Stick with it. God will help me. You know, I know one thing. I'm a self-centered asshole, right? I know another thing. If I don't, you know, turn my will over, try to live a life of with humility, my life goes off the tracks, and I don't want that today. And so if I'm running the show, I got a good chance it's going to get fucked up. So anyway, hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch up later. Bye.
Have you seen the homeless daughters standing there with broken dreams? I have seen flaming swords.